investigation. So that will be, I think it strengthens the argument that two separate bodies have acted in separate manners and spoken to the people and come to us at the same conclusion. The biggest difference was we've talked about the work group, violence or bias, the aggravating factors in terms of the sanctioning. We, in essence, were saying that we want to put that in a guidance document, not necessarily directly in the code. In the past, it has been the guidance document. They asked to go in the code. I mean, that's a matter of, that's honestly the only change that was very large. The other changes are small, semantic. Oh, they want to follow hostile environment harassment, but we went on the same path, and the wording is slightly different, but fundamentally they're at the same level. They were kind of reported in draft for a while. That being said, the recommendations are so close that once we get this done, I imagine in the fall, we'll be able to do, hopefully, just a quick public round. So here's what we did last year. We spoke to a lot of people. President Task Force agrees with us, and then we start moving things in the code. To be fair, we actually went a little bit further than they did in terms of how we looked at our notion of stalking. We reworked the regular definition of harassment, and we're also looking a little bit at the jurisdictional limits and other things. They also, it's also interesting because they put some things in terms of long-term goals of, oh, we want to change the preamble. We're already, I don't personally see why it's long-term, we're already doing that. So, and actually one of the things, oh, you should consider this. So it should be, I'm very pleased with the reports that we are. They also agree that the Greek system should be back under the code, which is actually good for us because we want to pursue that. We would need the buy-in of the administration. I don't know what President Pollock will do, but I'm happy to sit down and talk in more detail. I know we are crunched on time, so if there's any questions, I'm happy to answer now, or we can talk offline. Hearing none, there's another step. We're going to move on to the most important item of our agenda, which is the JDA reaccepting process. So, actually, Michelle, I'm sorry that you're concerned with like the minutes. They were brought up at our meeting with the administration last Friday. So, as promised, we met with myself, Gabe, and then Jeremy Cruiser met with the administration. I was remote because I was in tech. Met with the administration last Friday to talk through the procedures. I raised some of the concerns raised, including the going from two to three members for the regular JA search. The administration said they had no concerns with leaving it be. And noting the concerns of the committee, I said that's probably where we're going to wind up going. We have the other portions for, in essence, part three, which is just the search, the original search. I think no one had concerns with. It's just saying the president can ask for additional candidates if he or she is not pleased. They don't have to appoint an associate JA. They could, in theory, appoint someone else. The UA still must concur. I think that's reasonable because there's no reason to pigeonhole us. There is a new language I put in here based on our discussion last week. Kevin's the chair for the search committee. This was rough language. We were written in the middle of the night. So I'm happy to any suggestions. But good to see you. We're talking about getting ready for we just started. Right now it's a chair for the committee shall be jointly selected by the president of the university assembly from one of the appointed members. The idea is that one of the members of the committee would be the chair. We have to do it together. The language in essence was another option would have been to say the president will nominate the UA to confirm a chair. Again, the goal is really meant to be joined, not so much for putting the ball in their court. The language is trying to reflect that. It is a rough draft language. I'm happy to rework or tweak it. Worst case scenario, we can change on the floor of the UA. Yeah. This is really meant to say that last time we did the JA search, there was no provision. We got who assigned the chair. Myself and Beth Garrett had a discussion. She decided to appoint Brian Lombardi as the chair. Realistically, we did object, but we were consulted, and that was a point of if we're in this language anyways, we might as well put a chair where eventually. Moving on to the point four, which is the performance review. Right now, the concern that was raised to me offline and also raised with some of the leaders of the assembly was there was concerns that the process was too joint and not necessarily, as it appeared to be, the administration may have had too much, or not too much of a role, but the language would imply that they were really helping take the lead instead of providing a support role. That's a concern that was raised. I wanted to ensure we're aware of that. The language can be very easily reworked to go, it's being overseen by the Chair of the Youth Assembly with support of the press. I mean, there are ways to easily tweak that concern. And the reason my understanding behind that was noting the president is the proverbial long player. They're here. The administration did the long game to ensure that the community has the best of a shot, chance possible to ensure they're working with that. The rest of the evaluation process is very similar. To Michelle's and JCC's concerns about complaints and respondents. When I brought that up, the administration was very completely agreed. And the language was tweaked a little bit and just can be tweaked further to make an effort so that it would include an opportunity for them to. So the idea was thinking that at the end, of the process, there would be a note saying you may submit feedback. And then, so since we're not going to call them kind of then months later, it would be once it's all wrapping up in the packet of when it's closed and they're receiving the final information, there'd be a link saying you can submit feedback. It would be tabulated at the time and then shunted forward. It would be optional. And therefore, also to ensure that they are completely appropriate privacy rules. The administration was very understanding of that concern and agreed with it. They're trying to best balance the fact that we want people in the process to have some more feedback while also not retreading traumatic ground, so to speak. So there is that change. Moving forward, we then move to the removal process. There was concern raised last week about how we want to look at the president, in essence, having an equal removal lever as the UA. The concern is right now the president has a de facto removal letter that removal level that she can refuse to reappoint once every 2 years, whereas the UA and her processes, those who don't know, the JA, when they're in their term, may only be removed by the board upon action of the UA. Conceivably, of course, the board could overrule that if they actually had to, but the code's provisions are written in that way. This language would make it so that either party can initiate, and if both parties agree, whoever the J is, hopefully with everybody, Michelle, thank you for your service, goodbye, and the board would always, if there's disagreement, the board would have a check. We did cross out the quote unquote as the ultimate authority of the university, although that was a little superfluous. That's just even when we were discussing, so that it is superfluous because there's that ultimate authority language is in the front of the code because it is. Because the board is, you know, body. So that's where we are.
Who did you negotiate with?
So we negotiated with was Joel Molina, Vice President of University Relations, Mary Opperman, Vice President of Human Resources, and then Kelly Cunningham, who is the President and Chief of Staff. I should also say that from what I've been told, the President was briefed on a rough idea of where we're going, not the specific language, and she is currently pleased with where we're going. So in terms of there shouldn't be concerns of the president going to like what we do or not. And that means that the president's also said she's more than happy to work with us in this area and want to tweak or change. Does that answer your question, Peter?
Yeah.
Okay. So also, by the way, pizza's coming, I've been told it's a little late. I have Michelle to speak.
I just have two concerns. In the current draft where it talks about the JA shall undergo an annual performance review overseen by the chair of the university or assembly designee of full participation with the UA representative. In the administration's draft last year, it ended it there. In this draft, we now have a full evaluation committee every year, which talks about the JCC, chair of the UA, judicial members of the assembly, and the HR person. I think the language that was prior with the administration, where it just said that the annual performance would be done by the chair of the UA and the designation of the president, I think that made more sense.
The language hasn't changed. The language, this is what was given to you last week. The only changes are the ones I've highlighted.
I thought last week there was the red line copy.
This is the red line copy.
Okay.
It's modified. I apologize. The clarity is not right.
Okay. Maybe I didn't understand that. Previously, I thought we had a different version where it just said that the chair of the assembly and the president's designee would be the ones doing the evaluation. Because again, the concern is that some of these individuals are probably not an educational need to know to do some exceptions to FERPA. And I still have concerns about the complaints and response feedback because what they would be evaluating is the associate judicial administrator and not the judicial administrator.
Okay.
So I interviewed zero cases. Mm-hmm. So as a complaint and respondents, this might not be the way to do that. And I still think it's the same concern that Kendall and I shared last week about asking complainants to respond to do something after the process is done. So I still think that, you know, the public component piece is good, and I think that the respondents and the complainants are part of the public, and so I don't think my concerns are alleviated.
My understanding of the language, again, is that it's the president's designee, the UA chair or the designee are running it. The language doesn't participation of that you talk to the various people, they're not going to be running the whole, actually they're not running the whole procedure. And therefore the idea is that they're going to be, you talk to the ACC, you talk to a couple, instance to have, I don't want to say an advisory committee maybe the way to look at it, because they're not going to be seeing everything, they're going to be the chair of the UA and then the designee are going to be the spearheads. And then it would be, the other concern also is you want dual spearheads. And then the other people who have to be consulted have to be included. And it almost is, was brought up with the comment, the proverbial comment boxes that we had with, in terms of we're using a third party one that you want to have someone else who's able to be consulted and have some form of advisory, say. But the my understanding is the actual full evaluation would be the two individuals, one from the president, one from the UA, would be really running it, and the people listening to ensure they're consulted. And then to the other point, I think there's value to having the AJ, it comes about the AJ as well, because they are in the office. That being said, my concern is that they have specific knowledge in an area that may be of interest. And to try and I agree, contacting them 6 months down the road after they've already finished their section or moved on is not great. To me, though, what I've discussed was the idea of, in essence, whenever they're given the final notification of the decision, there'd be a link at the bottom saying, we appreciate your time, blah, blah, blah. If you have any information you'd like to provide for our feedback at an anonymous level, you can do so. Trying to ensure that there's some way to have some dialogue, because the concern would be that they would go out, they wouldn't get caught in the verbal net for everyone else. That being said, if you can use language or achieve that via other means, I don't personally think I have concerns, but I defer to the committee. Of course, I do.
So I don't think that satisfaction guaranteed is kind of what we aim for in the conduct system. What we have found is that most of the time that when an individual comes for conduct violations, it takes anywhere from 3 to 6 months for them to understand the reason and the validity of their sanction. So you're asking for a growth and development moment within 3 minutes. And so I do have concerns about that, but I do think that they'd be addressing their experience with the AJ and not the J.
I want to echo Michelle's point. I think that maybe soliciting this feedback isn't a bad idea, but I don't think this is the place for it, because it sounds like they're not evaluating Michelle. The rest of this process is sort of to be tailored to evaluate the judicial administrator, and it seems like it doesn't evaluate the judicial administrator, so it kind of sounds like this is clutter. You know, like, I understand wanting to give the public an option to provide feedback, but the fact of the matter is the public doesn't really interact with the JA. So I don't really know how much that public feedback is useful.
Well, maybe two issues. I mean, one is this part. What is this? It would be even A, and then we have the evaluation process. Is that a B, or is that just that's a continuation of A? That part in red, the evaluation process shall include. Seems to me like it's more than inviting by having a separate section that it's sort of included in public feedback. And there's no, I would strike that.
So we were talking about
the evaluation process shall also include opportunity for a reasonable number of complaints and so forth.
It's stricken A.
Yeah, the stricken A in pink with red and blue highlights,
yes,
or something like that. I would just strike that because it's already in public feedback.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, and to have a separate section seems to invite an extraordinary effort to recruit. And I don't see that. I mean, if we wanted to do that, the place to do it would be in the public component for the general opportunity for the university community, and then comma, including those who have had experience with the process, comma. And if you did that, then you could just get rid of that section. That makes me uncomfortable. I moved that.
Yeah, okay, sorry, as I say, assuming there's a motion, is there a second for that motion?
I second that.
Second, okay.
Any discussion?
Yeah, you're up.
No, I'm supportive of what you're saying.
I was about to, because I think based on what the discussion, I think that's an idea of where we're going. Also, it also includes it too. You want people who are ancillary to the process. You want people who are involved, but not necessarily the complaints, but not as they need to be. So to make sure I have it right, we'll strike the red portion, the stricken A, that's the red highlighted portion.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to replace it with opportunity for the university community to provide, and then the point above, opportunity for the university community to provide feedback on the digital administrator, on the performance of the digital administrator, comma, including individuals
who have had experience with the
judicial process.
With judicial process.
Including individuals who have had experience with the judicial process.
How are you gonna manage that? Would you be, it's the public.
It is just the public, and I'm certainly not wedded to that.
Yeah.
After the comma, that was only if someone.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, if you're going to say it, then you're going to have to manage it, and you can't manage it without going back and reinstating A.
Okay.
So I don't think that you're going to get people who are going to have strong feelings one way or the other, and they have all the opportunity.
I withdraw that part of the motion.
Is there any dissent to withdraw the amendment? Hey, none. It's withdrawn.
I'm just the after the comment.
Okay.
Stricken A's. That's
so,
the one.
Okay, so we're going to any silly question, but everyone knows what we're doing. We're moving just to striking A. Any dissent to doing that?
Okay.
We're discussing striking A. I think, Richard, I think part of what I was hearing from you to make sure I understand this was an idea to make sure that the language includes A. You should be soliciting people who have participated in the process was the original portion you just withdrew. And also we're striking from A, so it's simply mandatory if you should seek it out.
My suggestion was to, and I think this is right, the larger public has no idea what's going on. So that my idea, and that was just a suggestion, I'm not wedded to it at all, was to put after that comma those who have had direct experience with the process, because they do have some idea, however flawed it might be, but at least they have some. Here's another idea. The hearing chairs, the public would include the hearing chairs as well.
The public would include everyone. So I think my understanding of what Richard's motion was trying to get at was the idea that we want everyone, but we're also specifically saying these people of our special interest, not that necessarily you must speak to them, but we want someone who's been, if you have information or otherwise, work with the process or encounter the process and those people of specific interest. I mean, it could be, you could say it's imputed and that by definition, the review process we're going to do, we want people, I mean, I personally would imagine that it could be imputed, but that's what we're discussing. So I have Michelle, and I don't think anyone else had that. Okay, so Michelle.
Yeah, I think striking A makes the most sense. I wouldn't, or the, you know, the salmon colored. I wouldn't add anything because as was mentioned, then if you include people with the process, then what that would require is at my office to turn over the list of every respondent and plaintiff and then have them be contacted. And that seems.
Yeah, that's certainly not my intent.
Yeah, so I think when we talk about the public, that provides feedback and opportunity for anyone. And how I imagine this is, you know, once a year, the Daily Sun says the J's feedback evaluation. If you would like to give public feedback, here's the. And so I think as we're being transparent of how you do it, I think that's really where you'd be the solicitation versus I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of having to provide conflicts to respondents.
Okay. I have no speakers list. The motion on the table is right. Oh, sorry, Kathy. I'm so sorry.
Sorry. I just want to clarify when you're talking about a public feedback, it's a submission only. It's not a
long
list of people's rants and raves.
Yes, that's the case. This feedback actually can be submitted, yes. Actually,
I think I missed the Facebook page posts and over to Cornell's for that.
You're absolutely right. Actually, to Michelle's earlier point, the language is this feedback, you know, shall be conveyed privately to the chair of the University Assembly or designee and the president designee. Yes, those two are the people who are really spearheading the process.
Right.
So the feedback goes into them and to try and make that out. So, Richard, you're up.
So, when we had this discussion a month ago or something, we talked about performance review and just striking performance, so it's just review. But it's still in here.
Yes. What I heard was in our internal copy, we did that. The president's office gave us a number of comments. My suggestion last week was the comments the president had given us were generally amenable to the committee. Therefore, I switched to using that draft. So we can certainly go back and redo that if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, it's only in a couple of places.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think performance, the discussion we had before, is performance review sounds too much like an HR kind of process. And that the review itself was a thorough review of the record. So that would be my.
Well, I think we're doing just hands up.
Yeah, okay.
And then actually, they would also broaden it so that you're able to review other areas of interest. I am Michelle, the speaker first.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to.
Actually, can I get this? Hold on. We're currently in civil discussion on a motion to strike section A.
Is there someone move the question.
Is there a second to move the question? Any dissent to vote? Is any dissent to voting? Any dissent to the amendments? Okay. The portion that you described, which is the stricken A, is now fully stricken. Okay, now I'm sorry. Michelle, you're all set.
I'd like to add a motion to A, where it says this feedback should be conveyed privately to the chair of the university assembly, the president, designee, me, and I would say the judicial administrator.
Because when one would come from.
Yeah. That makes sense. So there's a motion to add, just add the JA as a recipient. Is there a second on that motion?
Second.
There's a second. Okay. And moving to discussion on the amendment. Eve, we just were discussing JA reappointment. The change we just made is we struck the part we reach out to complaints and respondents. Aside from that, we're in general discussion. And Michelle, there's been a motion to make it so that the private feedback that's received from the community is conveyed to the president's designee. Chair of the UA already there, as well as the JA, his or herself. So that's where we are. Is anyone who'd like to speak on that motion to amend? Hearing none, there's no speakers list. The chair of the question. Is there any dissent to adding the JA to the list of feedback recipients in that particular area? Hearing none, the motion carries. We'll add the JA then. We'll be back in general discussion. So the areas that set up concerns could also bring in speed. We added, actually I don't know if you can pack it. Pass that. But the language is to add, who needs to remain at two members appointed from the president for the regular search, adding language about that the chair of the committee would be selected by both the president and the assembly jointly from the committee's composition. There was a concern about the point four concerning that we might, the president designee appears to be taking as a co-equal status instead of maybe the UA should have that, to be really taking the lead role. And then there was a discussion about the verbal language, actually we ended up striking that whole portion, that's the red A that's been stricken. And then also the question, of course, of how to remove the process itself, which is where we haven't gotten to yet. So, if you are aware of where we are.
Did we discuss who's the chair of the committee?
Chair of the regular search committee.
Who's the chair of the regular
search? So the regular search committee, the chair language is in there, it's on the first page, it's quote unquote, a chair of the committee shall be jointly selected by the president of the university assembly from one of the appointed members.
Was that who added that?
That was an addition based on my mind, based off discussion that we had last week of the committee.
Oh.
I want to be sure that's my answer. I have Michelle's hand up. So, do anything else you want to ask about really quickly to make sure of speed?
Yeah, how would that person be selected jointly?
Be someone who has to discuss it with the president. The language you see generally would be along the line of the president will nominate, the UA will concur. That being said, the idea was that if you want it to truly be a joint, it's kind of a bit of a nebulous concept. In this case, you'd have people have to agree on it. Because to be clear, I would never put a student in charge of that committee. I would put a staff member or a senior faculty member. So by Michelle and Richard. If you have anything else that comes up, just let me know. We'll bring it to speak. All right, Michelle.
I'm looking at number four, the full participation of the following representatives. What is full participation? Because it seems like if it's full participation there, then all the people in the committee don't have the public component, and we really don't have full participation. And do you mean full participation by voting on, like, doing performance dialogue questions and stuff like that? So I guess I'm...
Sorry about that? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what full participation means.
Yes. So in the appointment of the chair of the search committee, that chair is going to be one of the members. Right?
Yes. So that's the same.
So,
yes.
So basically you would appoint four from us, two from them. And from that, we would be agreeing on who would be the chair.
That's
is that right?
Yes.
So I think that answers. I mean, it isn't. You only have six possibilities. So,
right.
And from that, you know, you can probably come up with a with a person. Okay.
So we also have pizza. So let's go bring that.
I have to leave in 3 minutes.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm just self-interested. Is there anything else important in the JA thing before?
That's important. This big portion that I think we haven't gotten to. There are two. One is. Based on concerns I've heard, the spearhead of the review process is the president's designee and the chair of the UA. In essence, it puts them co-equal. There's a concern raised, is that enough route we should to take? And the other one was for the removal process. Again, the president having more of a, having the same level we have, because right now, concern is right now the levers are a little bit more arrayed on the UA side in terms of pure. In this area, so as it's moving to a parity, there are concerns that were raised by some that made it, maybe we should consider that. And that is really where those are the two big issues, or two, not big issues, two big areas that I think I had heard that we haven't ever really been touched on, like maybe we'd be aware of. It also will come to the UA, and we will have a long discussion, and I hope. Is there anything you want to talk about or add? Or
not in 2 minutes.
Well, in that case, there's no, we can actually take a 2 minute break and grab pizza if anyone's interested before we can keep moving forward. I'll be there today.
Kind of a question.
Sure.
If Richard leaves, will be at quorum.
Yes.
Is coming up a discussion how long everyone's planning to be here so we can make sure to discuss everything to discuss.
This is the only item of business that absolutely must get approved today.
Okay.
The other ones are, we can, the other ones I think we can make work. This is the one that's also why it's first in the agenda after the record.
But I move for a piece.
Okay.
And you defend? Okay, then I guess we're taking a 2 minute recess, a few minute recessing for pizza.
I get your parish
blanket check. Says, like,
yeah,
you
feel
like you need to do it.
Richard,
there
are
entries
too.
Like, that's
the little thing. It seems like it's moving, it's going by the way.
Let me check.
No, the president cannot initiate the removal. Technically, in the code, only the UA can initiate
this.
The board cannot. It says the UA has to recommend it, and then the board has to approve it. This would give the president the ability to initiate. Yeah, so first they'd have to amend the code. Then they would have to.
So there is a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, the board can do whatever it wants, right? Like, they own the school.
So I guess the question is, like, what do we want the president to do? The president can't do it.
Can the president just recommend the UA consider it?
She could, and then it's like, we say no, then the language that's written would say that the president
go to the board over our hat.
Just be like,
That'd be fine with that.
Okay. Yeah, and that's reasonable. I just wanted to voice that, like,
yeah,
that opinion. I actually think it's, like, not unreasonable.
But I think
I'm not.
Did they get
into
it? Yeah. That's
oh,
why we'll
just
have back.
I just definitely understand. So the complaints part is that for
no, I'm sorry, it's for a woman that she wants to
know.
So
there's an entropy fish.
So that would be on the
front of the house. It's not here. And now we have an
well, it's really unobtrusive. And
oh, so you'll pay that then?
Sure.
Okay. Why don't you just take one of those?
Why not? Yes.
It's unobtrusive. It doesn't bother you, right? So it's not a rain. It's kind of a rainy day. That's just what I need in my life right now.
We
can't hold it to see
yeah.
One of the rules.
Definitely. Yeah, and then this is just that we were at that time.
But I don't remember if I had
done
it. Oh, I just wrote it down because, like you said, that like
honestly,
it's
I think
now
one major
because we're writing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that's on
that. Right. Sorry, should be school, and we should all take the same courses. So you want to merge all four colleges in one?
I think that would, you know, I think that if we were to all take the exact same courses, we wouldn't be that much worse off. We would be slightly worse off, but not that much worse off.
What?
We would just take like. History, science, economics, some more science and engineering or whatever it is they do. Much
simpler. Situations like I had in my undergrad where we had to do so many like core requirements that ended up being more credits than I actually majored.
Where'd you go
learn
that? I don't know much about that school.
I mean, something was valuable, but it was annoying to be told that I have to take all these credits and that it did actually interfere when I get on a major course for done. And it's one of those things where it's like, I haven't been to one of them, so I can't, if you're in a STEM major, it's helpful, but if you're in a major that's already like, multi-jurisdictional, like multidisciplinary, it's actually like really annoying to try and get all those like little boxes checked off.
What was your major?
I was history and international studies, so I was taking history, economics, poli sci already.
Right. So you wouldn't be that much worse off. You just prefer sciences in there.
Well, I mean, we had two sciences, but one of them had to be assigned to the lab, and then you got 3-hour lab that you have to fit in with like a bunch of like courses already. It was a disaster. It was a scheduling nightmare. So like the idea of it was good, but like in practice did not work. You have to get everyone to cooperate. You can't just tell them they have to make you do it to get the actual people scheduling their actual courses.
I'm sure
if Cornell
just dissolved all the colleges and all the majors, everyone would cooperate.
Yep, that's definitely what happened.
So, that except out. But in terms of just general thoughts on concerns that were raised, so, any discussion on them? Changes, and don't forget that this is all, even though we want to today, it's still going to be waiting to be discussed, so we have to sort of realize later this evening or tomorrow, that's how we can work for them. And we'll also be shopping this language around to other people who have in the past been involved in this process to try and get their input as well, so they're made doing this, so that's where we stand.
I think Casey might have
had some language, so. Well, we will. Wait for a moment. Again, hope everyone enjoyed the pizza. Is there any last week in our last meeting? Are there any requests for anything else, such as entropy pizza, or perhaps no entropy pizza? We can certainly accommodate that.
I move to take the anchovies off the pizza.
We don't have corn, so we can't be that much. I'm sorry. Kid.
If I make something and bring it, is anyone allergic to anything? Okay. Probably not going to have to do, but thank you for the offer. I appreciate that. Just in case, decide to make some kind of tropical themed. I need to like bring something that has nuts on it and then find out like, oh, someone can't like be in the same room with nuts or something like that.
We're always in a room with nuts.
You guys are meeting next Wednesday?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. After the last UA.
Correct. Wrap up, dude. It'll be quick.
All right.
Actually, I realize I can't say anything.
Make sure you throw a pizza party with whatever is left in our account for the year.
That'd be a lot of pizza. Anyways, so,
yeah.
Yeah, a little birdie told me you may have something you want the language for the changes.
Okay. So, yeah, I wasn't quite sure what Four was getting at, but when we're writing our evaluations, we usually only have couple of people that are directly involved in all the information, but we solicit input from a lot of different stakeholders, and it looked like that was what this was trying to get at.
Yeah.
So I was saying, rather than saying, and it doesn't need the president with the full participation, striking full participation, putting input from, and then you can put the entire university assembly if you wanted to solicit from the entire university assembly. You would have to designate people from the assembly, and then people from, I think there's more on the list, isn't there? The Office of the Judicial Administrator are not on that list. But the Judicial Codes Counselor, their designee, Chair of the Assembly, Codes and Judicial Committee, were their designee, and then the rest, I would just say, members of the assembly. Because you're not going to be trying to get a meeting, I would just create, you know, or use an existing, you know, review document for feedback. And I know HR can help with that. Okay. So I didn't say it exactly right, because it looks like, I guess it is. Just add in the Office of the Judicial Administrator, strike full participation. Add in with input from, and then I think you're about there, and then you can just cross out two additional members of the University Assembly, and then just make that the University Assembly, and everybody's, might have an opinion, why limit it? If you're just going to survey it, and they're not going to have to be brought together for a meeting, it should be fine. Right, Dorothy, they're the ones that have one vote to remove or
yes.
Remove anything, right?
Mm-hmm. Can I move it? The motion. Okay. And we can talk about it. Is there any sense of talking about that? Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. So on discussion of that, I think that would say makes sense. I would want to check with the administration to see how their presence. That was the way that language was their little tweak for design. See what their intent was, to make sure that we're at the summarizing it. But I think that, assuming that we're all on the same page,
right.
I think that does what we need to do.
Yeah. I think they just want to miss out those folks that work regularly with you.
Absolutely. No, I think adding the people from your office is excellent. I mean, I would hate to hear that everyone else in your office thinks you're a pirate.
It could come out. I mean,
depends on the day. Whether or not the company's out right now.
Well, I think that regardless of how we were thinking about that, I think that's you need to talk to them. So, that being said, is there any concerns or dissent with me taking that and asking local powers that may see where the language and making tweaking that as needed? Hearing none, we're going to do that. Thank you for that. I think it's an excellent suggestion. I think there is OJ, which we need to add because we also want to make sure that people who are under you are. Because we're all hearing from you, everyone else would be in the closet, don't say anything, close the door. Not that I think you would ever do that. Okay, so that's where the language. And I said, after this, assuming we are pleased with it and are willing to send it to the full UA for consideration, I'm also going to shop around to various people who used to be on this committee, people who I've known have been in the process, trying to see if they had, they see anything that we're missing. And if you have any suggestions or notes that you didn't get today, then I'll clarify the administration, and also we can, the UA discussion is coming Tuesday. The idea is really trying to cast a wide net. But is there anything else on this right now? Hearing none.
Wait, I have a question. Absolutely. So in, what part is this? In 5, okay. Part D, if I'm understanding what this, what the process of that is correctly, that is the president recommends the university assembly, you should, you guys, you all should talk about removing the JAA, and then that recommendation goes to the, wait, yeah, I'm confused about how this whole
sure.
thing works.
So the letter, that letter is, the president decides they don't like the ephemeral bad JA or AJA or whatever reason, that would be, not AJA.
Evil J.
Yes, the evil J. If they don't like them, the president would, in essence, notify the chair of the UA. Mm-hmm. Then the UA would then have to either vote up or down if they want to agree with their removal.
Okay.
If it's done by a majority, it takes effect. If the UA says, we disagree, we like the JA, don't want the JA to go anywhere, the president would have to go to the board and the board could vote for it.
Trying to keep it at the lowest level. Everybody agrees it's a state of JA, man. Just had alliances. A hypothetical sheet. All
right. Yes. But that's what it's trying to do. It's a slight change from the current. Oh yeah, the current language is that the president gets that opportunity once every 2 years. The UA has it right now, and the current did at any time. And then there's a concern raised that. Maybe it's equalizing scale, which may be really maybe a bad thing, but in terms of knowing what we're signing on to, that is what it has a practical effect of doing.
I don't know if that's like potentially that's particularly necessary, because doesn't the can the president tell the board of trustees they want to get rid of the JA at any time? The board of his trustees can do whatever it is they want to do, amend the code if they have to, or anything to accomplish that. So I don't really know this is necessarily necessary.
Well, conceivably, and I think Reese isn't here, and I can't support it on her behalf, but even with the way it's currently written, and I don't know the way the contracts are written, but conceivably you could contractually put it in there so the board couldn't overrule it. I don't know how to kind of draft it. I don't know. Presumably the administration would draft it, they may very well put themselves in escape clause, but you could draft, I mean, in theory the idea here is that it requires consultation before they do it.
Okay.
In conversations with the administration, I use the metaphor break. It's really essentially a break glass in case of emergency button. They very emphatically agreed. When historically we had any issue with the JA, we'll sit down, frankly, with the president or a high level administrator and say, here are our concerns. They will look at issues we choose to resolve quietly in the back. They don't, a public showdown with the president saying, I want the JA gone, and the UA has to vote up or down. That to me, and I think that's the worst possible scenario, because you've just taken your personnel matter and you've taken it public. It is the break glass in emergencies, but the best case, best case scenario is the concern gets rectified, or if there's truly an irreparable concern, okay, we're going to help you find another position from the university or elsewhere and do it very nice and quietly.
Okay, this is the best break glass. All right.
Anything else?
I have a question.
Absolutely. So I have David and Sexual Delegate.
What if the university president and the board of trustees want to remove a JA that the community feels is a good JA?
This provision would give them that authority.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, in theory, the president has that every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, in theory, the president couldn't remove the JA in the middle of the term. Presumably, the correct word is the term for his position, but the president can, has the authority to say, your term is up in June 30th of 2025. I'm not going to reappoint you. We're going to find someone else.
And the reason this provision is good in that event is, I think in response to Victoria's question, that if the university president did want to do this and the university assembly didn't agree, she would still have to go through the UA. There would be some annoying Cornell Sun articles, and the process would drag on.
Yes. In essence, this is an area that I don't think anyone would want public.
Right.
We can absolutely avoid it. And that served, I think, as a very strong counterbalance.
Okay. Yeah, so just so I understand this, like essentially the incentive for the president to not try to remove a JA that the community likes, because that's the point of putting in this check, is the president would have to deal with a PR nightmare, right? Where the president would have to ask the UA to formally vote, and then the UA would have to vote it down, the removal down, right? Like that's how this process would work. So the president would say, please remove the JA.
We'll concur with my report.
Yeah, right, concur with removing the JA. The UA would say, nope, we like the JA. You're going to have to get the board to do it if you want that. And so that is the incentive mechanism for the president to maybe approach the UA leadership or whatever and say, hey, we've had these problems. And then the UA can say, actually, I think we can work them out. Let's not make any bad decisions. Because that's the way I read those rules. How I would hope that it works.
Yes, and I think
the
codification of that is the president doesn't inform the, traditionally the president would inform the assembly collectively through the chair. This version says the chair is specifically the one who's notified. So the president would go up and say, Chair John Doe, Chair Jane Doe, Chair whoever, I'm thinking of this, I want to talk about it. And this is, it forces the conversation prior to the vote. So it's trying to institutionalize that.
Would you want to say that the UA has to vote before they can go to the board? Because she could say something like, I'm letting you know now, you chair, and I'm going to the board. Like, I don't care if you put it to a vote or not. Like, you can. I don't really care what the vote says. Right?
So the language is written, you need to clarify, it's, should the University Assembly not agree and no mutually agreed resolution is found, which is also an escape clause, meaning we could vote it down and say we want to talk about it. The president may recommend the removal of the judicial commissioner to the Board of Trustees. Board of Trustees decision. Board of Trustees decision. Actions in response to the president's recommendation is final.
So I think that my point was, my concern would still be legit, because like theoretically the president could like pull out these rules, go to the chair of the UA, say, and I'm sorry to everyone that we're kind of beating this to death, but I think we should think this all through. So the president could go to the chair, say, I would like to remove the JA, I'm formally letting you know. And then, the chair of the UA could look at the rules and say, well, we haven't agreed yet, or we haven't even voted yet. And then the president could say, well, this just says that if you agree, it happens. And if you don't agree, then I can go to the board. And whether you have a vote or not is kind of irrelevant, right? Like you haven't had a vote yet, so you haven't agreed. It doesn't say you have to have a vote. It just says if the UA doesn't agree. It doesn't say the UA has to formally decide whether or not it agrees. This theoretically could preclude the UA not agree. Like, mm-hmm. The president could,
yes,
right? That's my
point. I see what you mean, in essence.
And they would interpret it like this.
Because, yeah, what does not agree mean? Will not agree to be interpreted.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So I think if you wordsmith some language where it talks about may state steps to remove the judicial administrator by notifying the chair of the University Assembly, the University Assembly must vote on. And then if the UA is in opposition to the president's recommendation, then the board of trustees. I get what you're saying. They have the vote provision in the first part of the clause, but not in the second part of the clause. I don't have a suggestion, but
I was going to move to amend to say, should the University Assembly agree with the action of the president, be a majority vote of its seated membership taken at the next regularly scheduled meeting after the chair is notified, the termination of the judicial administrator will be implemented. Should the University Assembly have voted but did not vote in favor of termination and no mutually agreeable resolution is found, the president may recommend the removal of the judicial administrator.
That's a motion that I may read that. I think that might be going a little, in essence, I don't want to put a gun on this, put a proverbial gun in the head. Oh, you have to vote by next meeting. What you might want to do, what might work also, is should the University Assembly not agree by formal vote? As it's saying that the UA has to not agree by formal vote. And then.
That's better said.
Right. I still feel like that fits your concerns, where if the University Assembly doesn't vote at all, the president can still vote.
Should the University Assembly not agree after taking a formal vote?
That.
So we would just want to, we could just have something that says, like, the president cannot go to the board until the UA has voted, right? Like, that's the concern.
So perhaps an idea, should the University Assembly not agree after taking a formal vote, and no, we can do that, and add a clause saying the president may not go to the board until such time as he would.
But I do think it is important to save room for the UA leadership and the president to basically, like,
have a discussion
and agree that, there should be a change, right? Like, you don't want to make it public if it doesn't have to be.
Absolutely.
So I think it should only be public if they can't agree, right? Like, if they can agree, then I don't think there needs to be a vote.
So
does there? I don't know.
I would,
so then I guess the chair is deciding, which is a bad idea.
I think personally, what I would, what I'd see is point out is President Ezra Cornell comes up and says, hi there, UA chair. I have the following concerns, X, Y, Z. We're thinking that we want to remove the JA. We should not have a meeting about this. You have the meeting, discuss it, blah, blah, blah. Hopefully you come to a deal or an agreement or, okay, we're going to do a phase out in 6 months. We're gonna, that's, you start, you can come up with some way to handle it quietly. If that doesn't work, then they say, okay, we're going to vote on it. The UA can vote up to say we want the JA gone, in which case, thank you, whoever JA you are, goodbye. Or no, the UA wants to keep the JA, in which case, then the president can either A, find a mutually agreeable solution, or B, go to the board and the board figures it out.
The board will do, I guess the board will do that. Like,
yeah.
The president asks the board to do something, the board will do it, like, regarding us. Yeah. Like, we should just assume that that will happen.
I concur.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be, historically, yeah, the board will, unless it's a math issue, the board traditionally will tax the president, but
yeah, the
publicly it's turned back to the president.
The incentive here is
not for the, like, the deterrence isn't the president having to go to the board. That is not a real deterrence. Like, the deterrence is the president and the board having to tell the UA that they're not going to respect what they've done. That's, I think, the real deterrence. I think there's no deterrence in the president having to go to the board, and, like, cause that's ridiculous. It'd be like a consent item. Like, yeah.
Okay, so in terms of language to ensure the loophole that it was, the interpretive loophole the game's found, is language changing so that should the assembly not agree after taking a formal vote, does that close your loophole in your estimation, or could be other language that's stronger?
I think that would close the loophole, but I think that that creates another concern, which is how do you handle that quietly? How would you, so how do you handle it quietly if that's the case?
You don't think about that. In essence, you would handle it quietly because upon notification, you work at a deal and they would never even hit the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess so. Like, what if the JA says, like, oh wait, how did I get removed? There was no vote.
Well, the JA wouldn't be removed. In essence, frankly, it'd be a deal with the president's office. If, for instance, if the executive committee or the chair of the UA sat down and talked to the president, they both agreed the JA has got to go without sounding like a jerk. You go to the president, goes to the JA, and says, or and frankly, the chair of the JA or the UA, we are in agreement that we think the best solution is separation. Therefore, we're going to do the following steps, 6 month transition period, letter of recommendation, the opportunity to resign, versus going public. Because in essence, someone going public in this, that'll be all over the news and it's to the public punishment. So I think that's
a good question. So it would be like, okay.
The JA would agree to whatever remedy was.
So the JA would have that, at that point, they would say, let's put it to a vote, or they would say, yeah, I'll back off.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. That makes sense.
Conceivably, if the UA and the president's office and the UA's leadership are saying we're concerned, we think X needs to happen. I mean, in essence, the question is, do you want that going public or not? And that's, I think that is a bit of the weight in terms of trying to get things moving. Again, the public, I think the public is the worst case scenario.
That's the deterrence.
Yes. But so that, if you take the point at hand, does that language, adding quote unquote, should the university simply not agree after taking a formal vote, does that address the loophole to everyone's satisfaction? Are there other comments on the language? Hearing none, is there any dissent to incorporate that language? Hearing no dissent, that language will be so incorporated. Okay. So, is there anything else we'd like to discuss on this? The UA has been briefed formally on this a couple of times. As I said, I've been chopping it around with people who may have an opinion. If that's going to go, as soon as there's a dissent, we vote on this today, we'll go to the UA for Tuesday. We'll be talked about, we will determine how we're going to move forward. But is there anything else we want to talk about now? Hearing none, there is a speaker list. Therefore, the chair will put the question. All those who are in favor of advancing this language to the full assembly for consideration, please raise your hand or placard. All who are opposed, all those who abstain. I vote 5-0-1. This language will be passed anyway. Again, if you have any concerns or comments, sit and stop, let me know. We can certainly change it on the floor if necessary. Moving back into our regular schedule program. Next up is UHRB staffing. I'm very pleased to announce that we have received the UHRB decoder key today.
Yay.
So we are able to move forward. We don't have the resumes, but it is requested, but we have key. So there's a resume packet. Everyone, the office has collected everyone's resumes along with them. They have not given us that. The UA requested the decoder key and the resumes. If you had the decoder key, the resumes would help. But at this point, knowing that we have less than a week until the last May meeting, we're going to move forward. Those who are on the selection committee and anyone who's interested, when we reach out, I will CC you on the messages out to the various individuals we're following up with. Knowing the time of the semester and that it's Wednesday evening and realistically these won't go out until tomorrow, what I am expecting we might do is for the UA meeting this coming Tuesday, we will have a list, hopefully, who's doing it. Now, I've been told by Bill Sidney we should have the renewal if we want to renew as well. We have to consider it publicly. Being that we only have one meeting, I'm still debating how we want to handle this, but my current inclination is to tell the assembly because of this statistical hiccup, we got late, and therefore I'd ask that not be voted on at the last meeting, that rather they sit out for 2 weeks, then they people be given, yes, they given an emergency appointment for the summer, so the UA can formally vote to confirm it in the fall. In essence, because my concern is I'd rather, the UA's agenda was up Monday, less than 24 hours for someone to potentially see the people who are on the list or up for renewal is problematic historically. And again, it's not a perfect solution, and I'm open to any suggestions. So I have Michelle on the speaker list. Anyone else like to speak, please raise your hand.
I'm telling you, looking at what's going on this summer, I'm going to need a full board.
Okay.
So just whatever emergency appointments I need. I'm going to need a full set of quotes.
Well, so, thank you. I actually told Jenny before this meeting to talk to her about how we're going to try to make sure things done in time so you don't have a gap in the course.
So are we just going to do emergency appointments this year?
We're not going to have time to vote on it formally because we got the key today. To be blunt, I might not even be able to get responses for everyone by next Tuesday. And that's our time to get responses and talk to people and say, okay, what do we think? In this case, the timing is just because that key took, we asked for that key 2 weeks ago. Our two-week timeline. I mean, the appears went out late. Key, we frankly had to fight for. We just don't have time right now. So
it's really unfortunate.
We're going to make work. And I believe we're going to address this in another manner as well. But for the moment, that's what we're going to do. Also, there is, for those who know, the code amendment to increase the board size, assuming the president accepts that, then we're likely going to do a solicitation for you to the application in the fall. And in which case, we'll also go through, we'll clean up the our intent is to have a full board or very, very close to it prior to this current term ending, so you're able to conduct the business if necessary.
Yeah. Two questions. The first is, those code amendments haven't passed through the UA yet, right?
Nope, they're going to be voted on.
And you're going to have the four resolutions prepared?
Yes, they will.
And the other question was, did the chair of the UA reach out to Vice President Molina as per yesterday's motion of the UA?
He did, and that's why we have it. That's why we have the motion is given, the UA was given to Vice President Molina and verbatim. Mm-hmm. The motion asked for the key and the resumes to be given to me. The key was given to the executive committee, who then forwarded it to me. Not the advice that we asked for, but at a certain point, you said they have to take the lemon and make lemonade. So that's where we are. Okay. Any other comments or questions?
Are we passing the bylaws?
That was actually that. That's
okay.
Thank you very much. So that's all set. Next is the questions for 6.4. Will be actually in good shape. I hope. Every time I say that, she's already good to go.
I always scream at everybody.
So next up is 6.4 questions. I have incorporated the typo fixes from the last meeting. Question 4 is stricken and incorporated into question 13. So those who will know, so question 4 is now 13. The idea is now it's question 13, we add the language. For example, if there's an inconsistency in how document submission or party notification deadlines are being applied, to give an example of what we're looking at for ambiguity without going through the whole creation of a hypothetical situation, trying to maintain the spirit of 4 without having the clunkiness. That is one of the changes. The other, there are some typo fixes, which I actually apologize, I didn't actually note them. If anyone wants me to find them, I can. I think it's the different typos. The other change that was made was for question 6, flipping the question so that now it says, are you able to make a decision solely based on evidence within the case? And then it asks you of any opinion that would bias you. And since it's flipping the prior question. And the one thing that I actually wanted to come back to the committee and ask about is last meeting, Victoria mentioned that we want a maximum word count on some of the questions.
Or at least a minimum.
Yes, minimum. I wrote maximum. Okay, minimum is easy. Okay. That is, never mind that, because that would clarify.
Because, like, maximum, how many is a good response? If people are succinct, if people are not. But I think minimum kind of gets that, like, we think this question is important.
Yes. So, and that's, I apologize, I just wrote that, because that, I can certainly do. When you said maximum, I looked at it last night. It's better to say, wait a second, I don't necessarily know whatever that's what you have to do. But that's where we are. Are there any questions or comments about this?
Just a clarification, are they supposed, whoever is reading the, like, answers, are they supposed to do this blindly? Like, is this supposed to be anonymous?
No,
it's
okay. Not anonymous.
Okay.
I have a currently current.
Okay. I think we can make question number 5 a little bit clearer. So in the highlighted red portion, you can just say, how, if at all, do you believe your own biases or the biases of others affect this process? So just omit the first bias and then make that non-restrictive clause just part of the actual text.
So the long lines of how, if at all,
do you believe your own biases and the biases of others affect this process?
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. This is not ready to form a motion. Any dissent changing that? Are you done? So done. Carlton.
So I have a question about 6A.
6A,
okay. I'm actually kind of confused as to what it's screening for, because I think that the language of, like, do you have any personal opinions about these things, I think that it's not a matter of whether or not people have opinions, because they do. And I think that, like, whether or not that they'll, like, say that is difficult to, like, know or to, like, prompt out of people if they don't view them as being important to, like, handle. Is there, like, I don't know, it's just kind of like an interesting question to me, and I'm not really sure what it's gonna, like, get at.
Mm-hmm. I understand the rationale. Since this is actually a previous question, they got flipped. In that, in essence, it's the, if someone were to answer that yes, it's an EQ. For instance, on the UHRB questions, we have a, are you willing to undergo training? For the first time this year, someone said, no, I'm not willing to undergo training. And readable test. And we said, well, this was an easy application. Thank you very much. I don't know why you choose the application, but there you are. It's meant to really be the, if someone says, oh, yeah, I'm biased, I can't be impartial. I don't think I heard they say that to us there. Maybe it only happens once in a million. I mean, we can certainly tweak it though. Previously it was, do you have any opinions of this that would do it? And can you do things impartially? Now it flips into, can you be impartial? And do you have any opinions that would affect your ability to be impartial?
Yeah, and I think the rationale of this thing out, as much as it's listed out there, is because there's a lot of people who don't even think about sexual roles in that broader category. So it's to prompt to go, oh yeah, you know what, I don't think I can do that.
So. Yep. And actually, to be fair, some people may even, is that just not even for the application, which is
fine.
Okay.
I think to incorporate Carlton's point, we could change this language to say, do you believe that that your personal opinions about the list could interfere with your ability to be impartial?
That's what we had.
Oh, is that what we had? Okay.
That's what we had by response to the committee. The last thing I asked the committee said, I want to flip it, and I flipped it. No, that's what we had. Actually, I have the old question here. Come on up real quick.
Now it's just a social experiment.
Let's see what we get out of this question.
Yeah, no, actually, no, it was split. Do you have any personal opinions about students, blah, 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 that would affect your ability to partial this fashion? Yeah, it's, in essence,
okay.
We can undo the flip. That the flip was based off of this. Is that, that's the only word you have.
No, I see the use of the question.
Okay.
Is there anything else on these?
Sorry. I was thinking for questions like 6, 7, 8, 9, and 11, those would be a good candidate for a minimum word count, because those are kind of important things.
So 6, 7, 8, 9, 11?
Yeah.
Okay.
certain, I'll make note of that. Is there anything else up for discussion? Yeah.
Can I motion to extend the meeting by 20 minutes?
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, sir. Hearing none, we're going to 6:05. Thank you, Michelle. Anything else on the UA committee or the more questions? Hearing none, we guess since the committee has two options, or at least two options, another one, I'm always happy to hear it. We can, as it's approve it today, we can ask, I can go back and make the changes, we can approve it next week. Last week, the committee had discussed informing us and sending this directly to 6.4, this is the town line office, instead of routing it through the full UA, because it's more of a, we're stakeholder, whole resolution, for better or worse, you see it, sometimes you see it as a poke. It's not meant to be a poke, it's meant to be a, you asked, you said your questions were great 2 years in a row and asked for help, and we said, well, we got some time, here's some help. So we can either go down today, we can wait till next week and I'll make some changes, and then we'll send it out from our way to the town line office.
I think we could just send it.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in that case, is
incorporating the changes.
Incorporating the changes,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So what I can do on that, I can incorporate the changes and circulate it via email, the list. Mm-hmm. And then, assuming no one has any concerns, I can then send the bundle of off to the town office. Mm-hmm. Also, the town office is still trying, they're still looking up how you remove a hearing panel member once they're on the hearing panel. They said they're very busy. Sarah Apple. Previous town line coordinator is on maternity leave and transitioning out of the university. Our new town line coordinator is coming in. This is the entire year that I've been told. So it's they're going to, I'm going to fall this week and say it's been, I asked about a month ago. I understand you're busy, but we can get the response from this committee to stamps for the year. But I will incorporate the edits and then circulate. And then as soon as there's no concerns, transmit. Actually, because this is an actual, we're disposing of it, I'm asking for formal vote. All those in favor of doing that, raise your hand or placard. All opposed? Yeah, are you opposing our?
I'm not opposing.
Okay.
Is it delayed?
Abstentions? Doesn't matter if they can't be any except me. So if I vote 5-0-1, we will do that. Thank you. That brings us to Appendix A. Of course, the UA has also been briefed on. And so since nothing's changed, there's some typo fixes from last week, nothing substantive changed. The UA had actually seen this and been briefed on it. And as always, we're open to any suggestions or comments. The idea would be to ensure that the UA will likely vote on this next Tuesday, the bylaw amendments would take effect immediately, partially to avoid the wrangling that we had this year with UHRB, which regretfully we've gone over through the last 3 years, considering we do this every single year. It makes sense in our estimation to institutionalize it. And also to institutionalize, just to commend Michelle, who sat down and had really good discussions in terms of how to ensure the boards are staffed, ensure that it's making sure one semester that the vacancies have not become so extreme, that we're able to continue to move forward and to be able to balance that. So if there's any comments or questions, we can have those now. If you want to take a minute to glance over.
If the UA does emergency appointments next week, what is the expiration date on those? Is that whenever the UA is able to confirm non-emergency appointments?
Code says, in essence, code is gives a relatively wide discretion. In essence, they can make temporary appointments based on a temporary appointment until hopefully they can do it. What we did actually last summer, we confirmed our slate. We were told they were back. We found out there were more vacancies than we anticipated. So we went down our list, found more people, and they were told after, so they were emergency appointed this summer. UA Resolution 1 this year was introduced at the first meeting. Here's people from the last semester. In theory, get named with the prior CJC. They are confirmed by the second meeting in September. And they never lost, since they continue serving through that. The idea that you can't do it definitely, but traditionally, UA will do that and will seek to confirm as soon as it's practical.
And if I'm reading this right, you only ever submit solicit applications in the spring.
Yes, there's an option in the fall. For instance, say, did the committee feel that there were
in a position where we need it, we have that authority. And that actually was thinking about, you know, set the lower chart this year, and if we're going to increase the size of the board, boards, we would need it. And thinking, well, if we ever had a spring solicitation went bust, if we need to do more in the spring, or part in the fall, that would be to me, that's preferable to doing interim appointments and it's picking people you know. That's really, interim appointments have become, you go to talk to tour guides. I mean, this is, it's not a great system. It really was emergency based. And the idea is to try and get away from that as much as you possibly can. Anything else on this? The option for the committee again. You have been briefed on this. We have to go through the committee, but assuming the committee has decided, I don't see why we shouldn't vote on it. We can vote now, vote the email, or we can vote now if there's any concerns that we know we can amend it before. This version is slightly different than the version the UA has, primarily because they carried the agenda item through instead of updating it. But since this will be able to vote at any UA meeting, the last UA meeting. So I've been that on the speaker's list. Is there any dissent to vote voting to approve this? Hearing none, all's in favor of approving this to send it to fully waive, either your hand or placard. Opposed, if that is possible, and I'll abstain. So by a vote 5-0-1, these drop to the UA. And that gives us to kind of the attachments. Okay. Yes. Actually, if no one objects, actually I go out of order to take care of the previously passed housekeeping amendments really quickly before we talk about the kind of portion that I expect will probably exhaust our time. Hearing no dissent, the previously passed housekeeping amendments, they're working right through the UA. I actually, based on Michelle's suggestion, I'm working with the Austin Assemblies to get a notice of the Daily Sun, hopefully this Friday or Monday, saying that they're up for vote next Tuesday. And please reach out. That's an excellent idea in terms of budgetary. We can't do it all the time, but I believe we do it. I've been told we have the budget, we're going to do it. It's going to be very broad notice. Jansen's written to try to be easy to see, bold letters, simple. So we're going to be doing that. I presented the content of the 10 code amendments and gave a brief preview of the JA reappointment to the student assembly last Thursday. They listened. Some of them may have fallen asleep, but they were there. Because they had a little bell. I read the GPSA again a couple meetings ago. It's coming Monday. This is their last meeting. I will bring it up again. We have reached out to a number of listservs and the like. We held public office hours. We had a person show up, which was actually good. Someone found out. They were curious about the UHB reappointment process. And their concern as this was, oh, why is the reappointment? And explaining that we've been doing this for years, and it's just a matter of really need to put this in the code. They were fine. Actually didn't even get the gentleman's name. That didn't need it. We have a public comment box out that we've set up. The office assemblies, I've been told, I'd asked them to post it for comment. I checked last night. I don't see where the comment link is. I might be missing it. My concern is that I'm missing it. I suspect others will be. It's open. I will be following them to ensure they're public comment. We have our comment box. I actually have spoken to Gabe Crawford, which is the chair, to show him that the comment boxes are empty. There's nothing in there. If any member wants to see it, I will happily open it. I mean, that's the one. The working group had one for the these code changes. There's nothing. No one comment. Now those comments are anonymous. You choose to not be. That's what we had with the code amendments. They will likely be passed. Actually, they almost certainly will be passed this coming Tuesday at the UA. If you have any comments or questions, please let me know at your earliest convenience. And in full disclosure, actually, I also spoke to a former one of the people who was the victim's advocates in terms of our discussion over interim no contact directives, the time frame. They were concerned, a concern that was raised, I understand they're not concerned with the mutually binding, considering that's the default posture anyways. Their concern was, oh, what happens if they lapse? And therefore, is the timing too short? I went through and explained to them, okay, I mean, this is the reason we have hearing board charts. Our full hearing board is that it will make it easier, and that the UA would bring that up, and that's the reason we can lengthen it out a little bit. But the idea being that we have concerns where they were misused in the past, and that we want to ensure that they're responsive. That being said, they raised the concern that perhaps this is also what's looking at that we're just trying to ensure investigations don't run too long. And to be fair, that is part of this because if there's truly a need for interim measures, the idea would be this is not your priority, so that we don't have people sitting in limbo because of the business is open and don't hear on the merits. So that's where we are with those. I think Michelle was raising her hand before I mentioned last thing.
Yeah, just a point of information. They will be separated the four.
Yes, they will. Okay. They've been presented to the UA right now in just a general packet to make life easier. That's literally moved through because they will be there with the four separate resolutions. Yeah.
So if the four separate resolutions haven't been created yet, where on the Office Assemblies site would there be a place for public comments?
The Office Assemblies for the working group created a generalized public comment function where you could, in essence, just put up packet and say comment on it instead of just a formal resolution process.
And where is that on the website?
Under public comments. I can show you the link if you need it. Right now there's three things I listed for comment: the working group, the working group recommendations, and UAR11, which is the JA reappointment procedure, that are shown in open comment. I will be speaking to the officers again. I put in the impression that I haven't placed open. I might be missing it. But also there's no reason the UA, we can upload a packet regardless, if it's not a formal resolution, and ask for comments. So there are ways to do it. I think that's also why we have our own comment function, because at the very least, I can tell the president's office we had a comment function, circulated it, heard nothing, but we did it. And so obviously, with more, we can do the better. Awful lot of good talking. Anything else on this? Hearing none, we'll go into ADR code, reorganizing, and UA committee sanctioning hearing guidelines. Our last meeting, we had a good discussion, about the old 2012 sanctioning guide, as well as the new sanctioning guide / template Michelle's office created. In conversations, actually, in my understanding, in conversations with members afterwards, there appeared to be a slight confusion about how long certain things stand records and how long things are retained between oral warning, written reprimand, and similar. Actually, I said to Neil very early this morning, that's just asking if we can have some clarification in terms of just so we can talk and see it, so there's not the ambiguity or any concerns. Hopefully, when I have a better next meeting, again, not Michelle's fault. I emailed her 5 in the morning, so I don't expect that. That's a very quick turnaround. But we're looking at that in terms of just trying to see how it goes and also just to try and get a better understanding of those retention policies so that we are more well informed and not all progression all on the same page. Verification of code is progressing. I'm hoping to have something to show the committee at our last meeting next week. That's a long-term project, as you can imagine. I'm not sure I'll be able to make that deadline, but you will have hopefully something. It is ongoing. We're looking through it. So again, trying to, in the working group process, how do you try and take the code and keep things more connected, since reorganizing it's more understandable, and then also noting that you might have done some duplication or process for language. The last portion is the ADR portion. And I'm very happy to say that after our last meeting, Professor Rockman Scandal, the hearing board chair, is piloting, along with the WAFAC member, the ADR version of code, ADR summary decision agreements. It's been going well. This is the second semester, so they're exiting pilot. They are right now working, in essence, it's individuals with the university and groups. They're talking moving towards where there is a complainant involved, is it moved on? That discussion, I think it's been brought up both by the working group and brought up a number of numerous times, even going back to when I heard Michelle during her interview. I think it's excellent. I have a whole bunch of notes, and knowing that we're really tight for time, I'd be happy to talk offline. But concerns that were raised was that some of the mediators were saying that a lack of JCC has led to people not understanding sanctions or not understanding the process and being a little bit. In essence, there's time that was being wasted trying to explain, where the mediator was trying to explain so many more lawsuits. Oh, here's what the code says, here's how it goes. To me, that is good. Students should know that may not be the role of the mediator, perhaps including the accessibility of JCCs or increasing it there. I spoke to Kendall Carr, the JCC, about that. Her concerns actually are shared with that regular summary decision agreements, which is noting that, being that it's now an actual discussion, making sure the students are aware of where things go is important. I mean, there were at least a few that said there were students confused or like not understanding the policy or the rationale behind it. And also what is a reprimand? How long is it on your record? How long is it reportable? Which also ties back into hearing what I heard there was something that I thought was confusing compared to what I had just heard in the CDC meeting earlier. And again, just to try and ensure that's clear. the idea also, I have a whole bunch of notes and I'm not going to be able to go through it all, but also that once this becomes more established, you put in, oh, right now the code doesn't actually mention this, it just says you have summary decision agreement, and once we are in a more fleshed out stage where it's more stable, Jessen's put in the code for A to ensure there's community input, but also as a notice function, so that people understand, okay, the code has this function. The work group is explicitly recommending that we consider expanding it. I've been very happy to tell them we are, but that being said, people look at people to the code, and if we're trying to simplify it to have at least some way to people know that it's there, as well as perhaps we're looking at procedural protections to incorporate that. Yes, he recommends. Someone also brought up a concern about the JCCs creating, making the process a little more adversarial or argumentative. Somebody even said, oh, they may be concerned that they students, quote unquote, make up stories. My contention was that maybe correlation, maybe causation, people who are more likely to find it are more likely to see on the JCC. I personally have no concerns about the JCC that they hold Dandy or they act, to my knowledge, the highest standard, so I'm not concerned. But in disclosure, wanted to bring that forward. And also, there was a concern also raised in that one of the associate JAs brought up data, that he was starting to, that there's a repeat player effect, starting to know media, starting to know styles, and that is a very good thing, but it's also something that it's historically been a concern in the committee, because once one of the parties knows the mediator, it gives them an advantage when a student does this once, or hopefully once, when you have the JA's staff who's doing it repeatedly, heightening potentially the need for some more procedural advocate to ensure where it's going. That being said, I will say those who were present, including the AJs, were very, very pleased with it. They said it was an excellent portion. And I've been told the sanctions have been very creative in a good way, insofar as that students are taking a more active role in trying to be educational rather than just punitive. An example that was given was a student stole something from a Cornell store. Instead of just the traditional reprimand plus reflector paper, it turned into a creative video blog or video journal of it, trying to get at the underlying issues where the student was lonely, so maybe through work with the campus activities office. And some of these sanctions have been used in the past, but to have a more creative palette, and in essence to really try and get more towards the why did this happen and how can we, in essence, turn into more of a learning experience. And that is something that I think is excellent. I think it's why ADRs belong to that code and it's excellent. And historically, we are actually a paper on this, so we're actually behind most of the campuses in this. And it's good that we are, I think, we'll be catching up. So I have a whole bunch of notes here, but knowing our time, I know Michelle wanted to speak, and I'd be happy to open it up to any other discussion. This, I think, is a longer-term project that includes our time of the year. And to be fair, it's in its infancy. But I think it's promising. I think once we get moving further along, it would be appropriate, necessary for the CJC to start looking at this critically and say, okay, what's going well, what's not, and how can we personally, I think, not things aren't going well, this each week is new, and how can we ensure this is the code elevated so the community is aware of it and able to understand. So I have Michelle on the speakers list. If anyone has any questions or comments, please raise your hand or black.
Yeah, so this actually, this is in its third semester. It's a little bit longer than that. And so we actually have three development theories that we're using. We're looking at the respondent as looking at one development theory for them. We're looking at the people who are actually the mediators, and we're looking at experiential development theory to say this is tangible life skills that you're bringing. And then we're actually looking at the impactive party, which we use to facilitate dialogue. So, for example, the janitor had to clean up the vomit of a student, how they were impacted, and so using Brodkopf's theory on that. So we have a whole document that's actually just very revised through pulling all the pilot language off because we're like, we're a year and a half into it. But this is a class that's available for anyone to take, which is really remarkable that we're getting cross departmental learning. And if anyone wants to speak at it more in depth, feel free to let us. So it's been a really successful program for their office. And it's because the code doesn't say how an SDA has to be reached. So that's why we've been using it. So I spoke about this with Risa last October, actually. And Matt and Gabe straight away.
Yeah. But that said, I think it's excellent. I really, the code right now, just similar to the way some of our, so the code is silent on it. And if this becomes more established, I think it is, and our idea of ensuring the code reflects what we actually do, it should be incorporated. I think that flexibility is good. And I really have only good things to say about it. There's weeks, there always are. It's new-ish. And I think it's great progress. And actually, the one thing that even tied into what might be helpful for it is that even though I'd asked this morning, do we have a list of what is the record retention? So, okay, a RIC reprimand goes for however many months or years or until graduation, or a warning does that. To almost have a matrix of when you're giving it to, or having some language to give to a respondent that, okay, a RIC reprimand is on your record for 6 years. My understanding here from the mediators was that there was a little bit of confusion of how long is that on there. Even a generic, this will be disclosable for however long to try and clarify that. I know we're
doing that. I've shared that with this committee, but I'll share it again.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought the mediators had that.
So just something that I had noted, and I looked through my email, I missed the how long things are there. I apologize. I put my email this morning noting that it might be helpful, or even my understanding, I told that I had misunderstood something that Kendall had told the UA last Tuesday, which is basically what you had said that Wednesday when I heard the mediation. And I said, well, if I'm getting a little confused by this, I can only imagine a student who's not so immersed in all this. But just to say, I think this is an excellent program. I wanted to make sure the community was aware of it. We had a very busy year, but I think this is an excellent development, and I really hope it continues to grow and succeed. And I look forward to the person of this committee becoming more involved as it becomes a more mature program. So we are just about out of time. Do you have any final comments or questions?
Yeah. Two quick questions. Are we going to be discussing the preliminary comments from the working group that were published
yes.
this morning? Not today. I mean, we discussed it
yes.
next week.
Yes, we will be. I should clarify. Yes, that is our last. That last week is our last meeting. It will be a wrap-up meeting. We'll be going through. I won't say how long it's going to go because I don't know. But we'll be talking about the working group. We'll hear its final report, our final recommendations. To be fair, right now they're in a shape where they're relatively static. We can be told pretty easily. I know the working group is going to be compiling a recent recommendation, taking the compiling a document that we circulated more broadly. President Apology, the president seeing it. I'm quite interested in the developer reaction once you realize that we independently came from essence and inclusion. But so, well, that'll be next week.
My other question was, do we plan to reconvene the working group in the fall, or is that the current intention?
So what
or is
that
work done?
So in essence, the working group, the original intent was that we also prefer we have two of the members who are graduating. So congratulations to them. But so we will be, but in terms of the fall, the report is it deliverable?
Okay.
I would assume that I know, assuming I'm around that plan, that we're not trying to miss send off to the woods saying so much bye. We'll be contacted and working with them because the recommendations about to come through this committee. To be completely fair, I think they're in good shape, but I don't imagine they're going to be. Assuming this committee, this current committee, I wouldn't see a problem with. I mean, the CDC is relatively stable and historically relatively rational. I was even going through relatively smoothly in the fall. But I would be happy to, if members of the working group are no longer involved at this level, to ensure that they are kept in the loop. And also, last week's our last meeting, we'll have a wrap up and just a thank you for everyone because we have met the last 4 or 5 years combined. We have four. So, that being said, that's the agenda. I have no one on speaker list. I think we're at time. Thank you very much, everyone. I have a wonderful evening. Time is 6:07.